Are you troubled by stale podcasts in the middle of the night?
Do you love films that feature the busting of spooks, specters, or ghosts?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute.
Ghostbusters Resurrection is an RPG audio drama combining tabletop gaming and cinematic paranormal elimination adventures.
Call the professionals at nerdyshow.com/ghostbusters.
We're ready to believe you.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds and otaku across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Wicked Anime Podcast. This is episode 119, and today we are talking about some very special things that are happening in our anime industry. Woo! So I am the stupid, awesome analyst Jonathan. With me is the hard man, the hard bins, Andrew.
Hi!
And we have King Baby Duck Evan of the Boston Bachelor Brigade / Wicked Anime.
Hello, everybody!
Hello! Okay.
So this episode is going to be a little weird because we were forced into foreseeable circumstances. We couldn't record last weekend, so we're recording a weekend early or weekend late, and we need to.
Although it kind of benefited for us this time around, considering some of the news that happened.
We did actually, because we're going to be focusing majorly. We're going to talk about this huge deal that went down with Sony this week of our recording, Sony and Funimation. That is, seeing that Sony is now pretty much the owner of Funimation.
We all have some feelings on that.
Yeah, we're gonna get into the details of that later on. But first, we have to ring the news bell. Thank you, news bell, Sean.
Yeah, news bell, Sean.
And whistle coon.
Yes, whistle coon.
Slide whistle coon.
I ship them.
Newsbell Chun and Slide. I don't know if Newsbell Chun is actually interested in Slide Whistle Coon.
Oh, that's
just
sad.
That's just like a shipping. That's just fan shipping.
Yeah. Well, that's yeah. That's okay, because in the end...
Wicked anime fan art everywhere!
That's my OTP!
Yes.
We need wicked anime fan art of Slide Whistle Coon and News Bell Chan.
So, I don't really have any Japanese news, per se, just yet, but we have... What just happened? Comic-Con. We missed Comic-Con. So we have some Into the West that we need to review.
Yeah.
There's two specific
Comic-Con
things.
Came and went this year.
Yeah, I know, right? It's almost
it's kind of uneventful, to be honest with you. Like, nothing really stuck out for me.
It seems that way, except for we stayed up a little bit later because the Stranger Things 2 trailer went live.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, that was awesome.
We had to watch that for a minute. But also we got a really unappealing, unenthusiastic trailer for Pacific Rim 2.
Oh my gosh. Guys, I mean, okay, so we've discussed this over on actual Nerdy Show, the Nerdy Show side of things, where we're all very nervous about Pacific Rim 2, because there's no Guillermo del Toro and there's no Travis Beecham.
Yeah. That's a big
from
problem.
The first one. And, you know, the first one was really fun. And to me, after a little while, it kind of lost its charm. And I think that was mostly Charlie Hunnam's fault. But
say a line and turn. Say a line and turn.
Shake your head. Say it sincerely. Shake your head. Say it sincerely. But it was a cool concept and a fun movie to watch. There were only two major fight scenes. So I think a lot of people were like, I wish there were more robot fight scenes in the movie.
Yeah, but... the kaiju got hit in the face with a boat.
Yeah. And so Pacific Rim 2 has none of the creative development that was on Pacific Rim 1. And it looks to me like they're just going along with, oh my gosh, guys, giant robots! World's more giant robots! And that wasn't really the point. And Travis Beecham, when we had an interview with him over on Nerdy Show, was very specific about the developing worlds around the characters that he made and how the movie didn't necessarily have to be about the same cast of characters. Now,
where, but it's not.
Yeah, well, but the thing is, it's still the same continuing cast of characters. Where, sure, it's not Charlie Hunnam, sure, it's not Mako, sure, it's not all those other guys.
Idris Elba.
But it's Idris Elba's son.
Yeah.
Who's the main character.
John Boyega.
Yeah, John Boyega.
And I'm just like, eh? Like, okay, I guess so. But there's so much more they can do with the world not necessarily following the same cast of characters and storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because the first movie kind of ended the story.
Yeah.
So, I was really...
So what you're saying is it's making it sound like it's going to be, like, a direct-to-video quality level of storytelling.
I really hope it doesn't
I hope
go that
not.
Far.
Yeah. Now...
Did you know John Boyega is younger than us?
Is he?
He's 25. He was born in 1992.
Ugh. One of my major concerns about Pacific Rim is that they're just going to make it more fan service-y because it's not the original people making it. So they're just going to be a bunch of people being like, well, I guess we got to make it how people want it to be. And yeah. I don't want that.
You know,
dancing robots. Dancing robots.
That, and, you know, that actually has a lot to do with what we're going to talk about with Sony today.
Yeah. And I also want to mention that where I was absolutely terrified after watching the trailer for Pacific Rim 2 that I thought they were going to be doing a prequel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and this guy was meant to be Idris Elba, but as a young person?
No, you see, a prequel would have been great because...
No, I disagree. I think...
No, no. The comic book that Travis Beecham wrote, Pacific Rim Year One, was incredible.
Well,
it made me cry.
I'm sure it was really good, but a part of me didn't...
It made me cry!
See, a part of me didn't want to see a movie with the same characters.
Right.
You know, like, I didn't want to see the first movie who had Idris Elba's character in it, mm-hmm. and then see a second movie that was all about Idris Elba as a young person.
Right.
Or Idris Elba as a ghost.
I like that.
Although, no, listen, I bet you that is going to happen. I can bet you anything that Idris Elba's son is going to find him in the drift, and he's going to give him some words of encouragement to help beat a kaiju, and or whatever, or dance battle, whatever is going to happen in this movie. I don't know, man.
It was also really weird that they didn't show any kaiju in the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
So, what are the giant robots fighting?
Yeah, well, that's true, too. And the giant robots all look
They're fighting their inner demons, man!
And all the robots looked like shiny new cars, like they were... Like, well, that's... Okay, so that's the style of this commercial. It looked like a car commercial.
Yeah.
And that was the whole idea of it. Was it propaganda for people to join an army? Or was it for people to consume?
It also looked like the robots were now developed to be individually piloted again.
Yeah, because John Boyega's character was... the only guy in the trailer. He didn't have a drift partner.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. We'll have to see.
Well, there is like a website that makes it sound like you were trying to recruit to be a part of the whole Pacific Rim project. So it could be more of a recruitment aspect.
Would you like to know more?
Yeah.
Were they going to be fighting giant insects now?
Ooh.
Terraformers meets Pacific Rim.
Season one of
Terraformers specifically.
I was thinking Starship Troopers.
Oh.
Although, if it does go in this direction, we're looking more at season 2 of Terraformers here, Evan.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
There was something more exciting, though, that at least that I was more thrilled about that came out of Comic-Con.
Which was?
The reboot of Rocko's Modern Life. It's not even a reboot of Rocko's Modern Life. It's just, like, another episode that's going to be coming out.
Well, it's a full movie, right?
Yeah, it's a full-length film.
Is it? My understanding was that it was just a new episode.
I don't know. I think
from what I know, it's supposed to be like a full-length motion picture that picks up 20 years after the fact. Rocko, Heifer, and Filbert have been dropped off by aliens because they somehow got kidnapped in the 90s and are now brought back to 2016 or 2017 and now can't handle this new version of modern life.
That's incredible.
It really is because...
Oh, crap. Are they going to be the aliens that Heifer created the crop circle to on the golf course? Who keeps writing this stuff?
Yeah, and we're really seeing that a lot now. It seems like, because there's talk about bringing Invader Zim back. There's talk about bringing Rocko's Modern Life back. There's a Hey Arnold full motion picture coming out that's going to complete the series.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Like, all this stuff is going on, and it's really kind of a nostalgia attack on all the kids who grew up on this stuff.
Which doesn't make any sense, because it's going to be on TV for the new kids of this generation. And they're not going to understand Rocko's Modern Life. They're not going to understand Hey Arnold. Like, what's up?
And the fact that they're not going to understand Rocko's Modern Life, to me, is actually kind of hilarious.
Yes.
But it's also kind of bad, because that might mean it not do so well. But at this point, the parents of those children are the ones who watched Rocko's Modern Life.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where it's going to be, like, the big fan base is going to be coming back to. And who knows, this could probably move on. It could lead to more episodes in the near future. But like you said, if it's not successful, it could just be this one-off thing.
Right.
I wonder if it's still going to be super filthy, like the way that old Rocko's Modern Life
it's already,
was.
Dude, you already saw it. He's got a wiener taco.
Well, I know.
A wiener taco.
I know.
Ew.
Well, I mean, like, you just had, like, such crude humor. Like, really, really big man's nipples of the future. It's like nipples shot into people's eyes. And
right.
Just.
Heifer being milked by the udder machine.
Oh, my gosh. And then, like, all the cut gay jokes like that. There were so many gay jokes in Rocko's Modern Life of the time. It was just like, oh, man.
That would not fly today.
No, no, and, like, they didn't even fly back then. That's what made it so hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It was so, you know, Mr. Murray.
Joe Murray.
He did such a good job with all those things.
What do you guys think of Camp Lazlo? Because I know it wasn't as filthy as Rocko, but I thought it was still enjoyable.
It was okay. I enjoyed Camp Lazlo.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't watch it the way I watched Rocko's Modern Life. I mean,
same here.
I mean, we have the complete DVD set of Rocko's Modern Life here at our house. I actually gave it to Jonathan for his birthday one year. And Camp Lazlo was more of like, oh, hey, Camp Lazlo's on. Let's watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was basically how I felt.
It was survivable. It was never like those times where we'd wake up on Saturday morning and we want to watch Edda and Nettie, but we had to sit through an entire episode of Scooby-Doo first. I mean, like, not to say that Scooby-Doo's bad, but, I mean, Scooby-Doo's not great.
When you're a little kid,
you're done with Hanna-Barbera. Yeah.
Except for SWAT Cats.
Yeah, but...
Oh my gosh. I have all the SWAT Cats on DVD. I have all my cats on DVD. I have SWAT Cats. I have Thundercats.
You just dropped the biggest furry line of 2017, right?
Dude, kids of the... We talk about this in the waifu panel.
Yeah.
The kids of the 90s, it's surprising that we're not all furries. Because, I mean, you have Ninja Turtles, Biker Mice from Mars, Street Sharks, Thundercats, SWAT Cats.
Yeah.
The Sonic the Hedgehog cartoon Sonic with the Sally Hedgehog, Acorn, yeah, who's like the furriest of all furriest female characters.
And one of Cap's waifus.
Yeah.
So we're good.
Yeah.
So those of us who aren't furries, we should be really surprised.
And that was Into the West.
That was a really good Into the West.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I'm gonna put all those trailers into the description so that people can see them if they didn't catch up on Comic-Con at all.
Yeah.
Those were our important things.
Well, there's been a lot of, like, announcements of some of our favorite anime coming back. You know, we have Konosuba getting a new anime announcement, Dagashikashi getting an anime announcement. Did you guys watch season 3 yet of Voltron?
No, we haven't even finished season 2.
Ah!
Yeah, we're, like, halfway through season 2.
Okay.
I didn't know season 3 was out.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Just came out a couple days ago. I marathoned through it.
Oh, jeez.
Was it? Hey,
it's only 7 episodes.
Okay. Is it better than season 2? Because season 2 is a little lackluster right now.
Yes. Yeah. It is a lot better.
Okay.
Way more character development in the third season.
Okay. Awesome. That's good to hear.
Yeah. Season 2 is a little bit slower than season 1. Season 1 was...
It is.
Season 1 was absolutely on point, where season 2 seems to be kind of doing like an episode to episode. Like, we don't really have a focus thing going on.
Right, so. But they kind of well, you'll see what happens at the end of season 2, like, how that's going to leak over to season 3.
Yeah.
But I think we're going to move on from one special thing right into the other, because it's finally time for Japan's Finish of the Week!
Finish of the Week, yeah.
Explosion. So,
This fetish of the week comes from Gerardo. Gerardo found a story on a website, none other than Rocket News, or Sora News as it's called now. What happened was there's a new karage flavor, which if you don't know what karage is, it's a Japanese fried chicken, and it's very delicious.
It's okay. I'm not a fan of karage.
Oh, well. Okay.
But maybe I'll like this one.
So there's a whole bunch of different seasonings and sauces that you can put on karage, because it's more of a snack type thing. You don't buy it as a meal.
Yeah.
You buy it and you get it in a cup, and you just...
Like here, we have Auntie Anne's pretzels.
Yeah, like you have a toothpick, yeah. And you just poke the toothpick in the karage and you eat the chicken. So now there's a shop in Japan. One second, let me find the specific name.
Screw you, Wetzel's Pretzels.
I thought it was Wurzel's Pretzels.
Nah, man, it doesn't rhyme.
Oh.
You could be right, but screw them even more if it is Wurzel's.
Okay, so it's a karage fried chicken chain in Japan called Tenka Torimasu. So okay. Chicken.
Yeah. Torimasu.
Yeah.
Hey.
And there's a new promotion going on from a creative partner from an idol singer group called Kamen Joshi.
Okay, we're slowly getting into more fetishy stuff.
Yeah, so Kamen Joshi is translated into masked women.
Wait, what?
Oh, those ones. I've seen those people.
Well, common. Common is mask.
Oh, mask. I thought you said masked.
No. Mask Joshi. Okay. Kamen Joshi.
Yeah, like, I thought you said, like, mast of a, like, the mast of a ship.
Oh, no. Masked women. Kamen Joshi, the idol group Kamen Joshi. They have a flavor that's being promoted by them called Girls Sweat. Sweat.
Great.
So
I'd buy that for a dollar.
So the article goes on to say, what does girl's sweat taste like? Really, really, really good.
Really?
Yes. So this sauce, it's a cheese sauce seasoned with...
Okay. Stop right there.
Yeah.
Because if it's a cheese sauce, like nobody ever wants to think of females and cheese in any way, shape, or form.
Have you been to Alabama lately?
So the thing is this is kind of a flavor of mental fortitude.
Yeah, right.
You have to realize that it's not actually girl's sweat, but the fact that it's called girl's sweat and maybe tastes like girl's sweat is kind of nasty.
But, well, I think that I could probably get past... It's weird, because you can either do cheese and not call it girl's sweat, or you could call it girl sweat and not do cheese.
Okay, so what is it made of? Yeah. It's basically made of the cheese as a base, seasoned with salt and lemon juice.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about that...
That sounds tasty.
And
that sounds tasty.
And also, when you think about it, you're like, oh yeah, that could be sweat. Because it's got that sour, salty taste.
Yeah, but I can't get past the fact that they want to market something as, like, sexy girls.
I don't know if it's supposed to be.
I think it's kind of a joke. I know it's supposed to be sweat, but you know what's also salty is the tears. So why isn't this flavor called the tears of our enemies?
Well, I don't know. Because
tears aren't cheesy. So
well, it depends on the villain.
It depends on the movie that you watch.
Because, you see, the thing is, yeah.
The tears of Ivan News would be very salty and cheesy.
Yeah, ooh. Well, because the cheese kind of gives that oily kind of texture.
Yeah.
So you got the salt and lemon sour flavor mixed with the oily, cheesy sauce flavor.
Yeah.
And that's sweat. So... I guess it tastes good, but then when you as you're eating it and you remember it's called girl's sweat, you're just kind of like, So,
I don't know. I would try it and see if my mental fortitude would hold up.
I would try it as a novelty. That's for sure. I would definitely try it as a novelty.
Just cheese and girl's sweat doesn't do it for me. They're on both sides of the coin.
I guess what you'll have to do is find a girl and actually get them to sweat and drizzle it on your karage and then have the girls sweat karage and see how similar they taste.
Done. I'll do that.
Ugh.
List me back here in an hour.
That sounds filthy.
Ready, break.
Yes, Japan
and that was Japan's Fetish of the Week!
Thank you, Gerardo. Thank you, Gerardo, for sending us that very interesting chicken story.
We didn't even talk about the chicken. We just talked about the...
Everybody knows what karage is.
Yes, and everybody knows what chicken tastes like.
That's true.
So, I think before we go on to our major news topic that we're going to be talking about as our Tapagotchi, we should probably talk about what we're watching.
Yep, we can do that.
And I don't know what you guys talked about last episode because I wasn't here.
We basically talked about every single summer anime that's airing.
Yeah,
so I figured maybe this is your time, Andrew, to share what you've been watching for the summer.
Okay, so here are the shows I love. I love Aho Girl.
Mm-hmm.
I love Kakegurui. I love New Game Season 2.
Yep.
Gamers is good.
Just good?
I watch it every time it comes out immediately.
Yeah.
But it's not as good as Kakegurui, Aho Girl. No,
Because that was my
pick. It's up there with those.
That was my pick for the season.
No, I know, and I really like it. Because I was thinking about talking about Gamers, but Gamers is kind of like going down that weird romance-y path that I'm like, eh.
Yeah. Karen Tendo is definitely...
She's great.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, she's a great character.
She'll be a contender in the wikis this year for
a contendo.
I mean, just the recent episode where it's between like before she tried to get the guy to join the club, and then after she tried to get the guy to join the club, and just how she wakes up each morning,
yeah.
And just how different it is, just how funny that was.
So I'm watching, and then, so I love Aho Girl. Aho Girl makes me laugh so hard.
Every time they come up with new stuff.
Well, because that's the thing, I was just like, how could they possibly make an episode that's funny every single time about the same exact joke? Well, they do.
Yeah.
And,
yes.
Because every episode seems to end with an ultimate punchline that makes you really want to watch the next episode.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been super enjoying Aho Girl. I think it's really, really funny.
I think what really amazes me is that the person that's voicing her, the main Aho girl, is the same person who plays Tanya the Evil. And, like, it sounds like two totally different people. Like, that's how talented she is.
So, other shows that I'm watching... Oh, and Kakegurui Guys, that's the episode... That's the show that I wrote my Wicked Anime article about. I don't know when that article is going to come out.
It might be out.
I think... Hopefully. I think Jess needs to write hers still.
She does.
But,
she's having a tough time this season,
yeah.
Which is understandable because you have to sift through a lot of crap.
So Kakegurui is what I wrote about because I absolutely love it. It's so bizarre. And I think the article that I wrote and that will be coming out soon will explain my thoughts on it so perfectly that you'll love it. Now, the shows that are kind of okay that I'm watching are Centaur's Life, which it's like, it's good, but I don't watch it immediately. Because it's just kind of okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of boring. And
well, it's kind of like when you try to compare it with something like Monster Musume. Like, you have high expectations for Monster Girl anime now.
I guess so, but I kind of don't try to compare shows to other shows just for the fact that I want to give them their own... what's the word?
I don't know. Just like their own...
Respect. Independent opinion?
I don't want to, like, compare one show to another show because I know they're two completely different shows just based on the same topic. But that's just anime. Anime is just like, we're going to recycle the same idea over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, thanks for that, born into another universe genre.
Isekai.
Is that what the genre's called?
Yeah, I think it's called Isekai, which, coincidentally, the recent episode of In Another World of My Smartphone had me come up with my own idea for an Isekai.
Oh, yeah?
I actually have my own idea for an Isekai as well.
Really?
It's a show where it's going to be a parody show of the Isekai, mm-hmm. where somebody, like a young shonen boy from a fantasy world, gets sent to the modern world.
Oh,
instead.
That would be great. I'd watch that.
Because it would be a straight up parody, parodying every single thing that we've ever had about kid going to fantasy worlds.
Yeah.
You see, mine, I actually even have a title for it. I have a title for it in English and Japanese, and then like short form Japanese that all the cool kids are gonna shorten it to.
Please tell me that it's absurdly long.
It's a little bit. It's called Watashi no Toka. Let me try it again. Watashi no Chou Taikoku wa Komedi no Shiru desu.
Yes. Okay. Or, yeah, that works.
or Cho Tai Kome, as it will be known as for short. And in English, it's known as My Superpower is a Comedic Fodder.
Okay.
So basically, the idea is this guy gets sent to another alternate universe after dying tragically, but he gets sent down with a superpower. And it's not a superpower that he can choose on his own. He has to choose it from by spinning a big giant wheel that God has, and it's going to land on the one that he's going to have. Well, it lands on a power simply known as slip. And all it does is he has the power to make anybody trip and fall whenever he wants.
Okay.
Nice. That actually sounds like it would be really funny.
Yeah.
It would be. So imagine there being like a big, massive boss battle, and he just slip, and the monster just trips, falls, and like goes into a pit of lava.
I like to think about how the Headless Knight, the Death Knight, was in Konosuba.
Yes.
That it would very much be that joke over and over and over and over again. Like, that was really great. Because he was one of the funniest characters to watch. One of the funniest villains, I should say.
Yeah.
I've
actually been rewatching Konosuba with the recent news, and
I should do that. I would love to watch it again. Cabbages. Watching flying cabbages.
Can I just go home and go to bed?
Okay, so, and back on topic. The other show that I think is just kind of okay that I'm watching is Fastest Fingers First, the quiz show.
Yeah, it's like a quiz competition.
Yeah, show. So like there's a club in the school where you take quizzes and you go to the quiz bowl, and they're trying to do one of those animes where they're trying to teach you how to do it properly as a competition, and how it works out in that sort of sense. It's good, but it's kind of not. It's really slow, and
it kind of sounds like a long, drowned-out episode of The Simpsons. Like a Lisa-centric episode.
Yeah, and it's the thing that I find really interesting about it is the lead female in the show. So it follows a shonen-type main character, but his female sidekick character in the show is voiced by a greenhorn voice actress. Like, she is just brand new to the scene, and you can tell her voice is so underdeveloped. Like, her acting skills are very blasé and very run of the mill, very under par.
Yeah.
And it actually makes it kind of charming. So if you guys haven't checked it out yet, I would watch it just to hear this girl's voice. She has a very boyish voice, and her inflection when she says stuff is not enough. She has a very flat inflection on anything that she needs to say powerfully and doesn't say it powerfully. And I think the reason
why...
The
winner is you.
I think the reason why I'm so interested in this is because I watched the anime Girlish Number. And that's what that show was about a greenhorn voice actress who wasn't that great, but eventually she learned how to do it.
And we heard the recordings of, like, the first episode that they ever did.
Yeah, and you know, they were like, oh, this girl's not very good, but we can work with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I like the amateurness of her voice. And I don't know if it's just because I don't speak Japanese and I just can't tell the inflections, but I've seen enough anime where I've never heard anybody speak the way this girl does. And I've definitely never heard her voice in any other animes ever.
So it's not even the way that, like, Kana from Dragon Maid was so monotone in the way that she spoke.
No, it's you can tell it's her acting.
Yeah.
Like, you can tell it's the way her acting is.
Yeah.
It's very... So, guys, just watch Fastest Fingers First just to hear the main female lead character speak. It's very cool. Yeah, there was one episode where, you know, they're having this lunchtime, and then they introduced a new female character to the show, and she started mooching off the main character's lunch, and she got upset because she goes, like, I haven't even gotten to eat out of his lunch yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, wait, what did I mean by that? But the way she said it was, I haven't even gotten to eat his lunch yet. in that kind of voice, and I was just like, ooh.
So now, it's like the, sounds like Rock Lee, but like the English dub version of Rock Lee.
just watch it. You guys will hear it. I think it's pretty cool.
Yep. So I got two things that I want to mention. One, I checked out Netezo Trap NTR.
Okay.
And the first episode, I only watched the first episode because that was enough for me. It's the exact definition of a classic NTR.
Mm-hmm. For those of you who don't know what NTR is.
Netorare.
Yeah, it's a show, or it's a genre.
We talked about this on the last episode.
I know.
Yes, we talked a little bit about this.
You
didn't go with what I told you. You had to watch like the next episode following it, because that's when you're starting to realize this is why they're going this route. This is why she's acting that way.
I understand that, but from the first episode alone, the concept of it is classic NTR, and the fact that the girl with pink hair actually has a really decent and cute romantic relationship with this boy, and then this other girl who's been her best friend is legitimately like, nope, guess what, I'm ruining that. And I don't know. I do want to, slip back into it because the episodes are short, so it's not that hard to watch, and it kind of lets me talk about something cringeworthy on this show. So that's like,
look, if I had to sit through 7 mortal sins, I think you have to sit through a really bad show.
I was legitimately.
Yeah. Why did you sit through 7 mortal sins?
I was legitimately considering that. By the way, I'm going to, Evan wrote a great article about it. If you didn't see it on our Facebook page, you should check it out. I'll put that in the description as well.
Thank you.
That's so funny that you did that, Evan.
Yeah.
Well, the reason why I did that is because, I'm pretty sure that my readers might be sick and tired of me praising stuff all the time.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing, because there's a lot of really good anime out there that I watch. So what would happen if I sat down and watched a really bad one for the sake of my readers? And this is what happened. And this is what broke me, which is why I'm getting away to LA for a week after this.
Oh, that's the reason?
Yeah, that's the reason. That's the exact reason.
I actually didn't even really know that 7 Mortal Sins was a thing that came out.
Yep.
Is it a harem?
No.
It's like a battle anime.
It's basically Paradise Lost with softcore porn.
Paradise Lost.
The classic tale from the 15th century about Angel falling down to hell and trying to work his way back up.
Okay.
The other...
I'm an English major. I know more about this stuff. Not by choice.
The other thing that I checked out was 18 If, which I didn't realize was based off of a video game.
It's actually a brand new video game.
Yeah, and the animation is weird. It's not that impressive in any way, but at the same time, they try to do impressive things, like on a large scale. Interesting story. I really like the Hakase character, the Professor Cat.
Yeah.
He's cool. And lastly, the last thing that I want to hit is that I'm all caught up on My Hero Academia.
Yeah, from the manga.
There's no way that I could possibly read farther into My Hero Academia at this point because...
Unless you steal it on the internet.
Unless I steal it, which I'm not going to do. Volume 9 of the manga came out last Tuesday, and I read it in a day. And this is well into Season 3. The material that is out and available for My Hero Academia at this moment is well into Season 3 of the show, maybe even the beginning of Season 4, I don't know, but it is great. It is so much fun to read.
I'll probably end up reading it once Season 2 is over.
And you start getting that itch?
Yeah, because I'm going to be like, I don't think I can finish it there. Like, yeah. It's like, knowing that there's already more out, I should just read it.
Yeah, and so... Volume 9 came out last week, and then Volume 10 doesn't come out until November 7th. I already bought it, and Amazon is selling it right now for $7, so as a pre-order price. So I already bought it on Amazon.
Cool.
But if you get the chance, if you're itching for My Hero Academia, pick up the manga, because it is great. That's it for me. Evan, what are you watching? Anything new?
Nothing really new that we talked about last week, because I'm basically watching all the same stuff that I mentioned beforehand. But I will say, like, the day of the week that I look forward to the most now is Tuesday, because with Tuesday, you have, as you mentioned, Aho Girl. Mm-hmm. You have Sure Dure Children.
Mm, yeah. That one's really good.
We have season 2 of New Game.
Yes.
And we have, in another world of my smartphone, which I did talk about a little bit briefly, it's, you know, it's nothing really too special in regards to the isekai genre, but there are little things about the show that make it enjoyable and watchable.
Is it, it's not fanservice-y trash?
It's not fanservice-y trash. I mean, they actually make a joke about that.
Yeah.
In one of the episodes. But the thing that I look forward to most, and I did touch about this, and it's something that I think is going to show up in the article when it gets published, is Magical Circle Guru Guru.
Mm-hmm.
That's a show that, and I've never, it's been a long time since I've done this with any anime. I watch it twice in a week. I watch a new episode twice because it's one of those series where you're not going to get all the jokes in the first viewing because there's so much humor that's thrown in at you. And what I love about the show, too, is that it sticks to its original 90s tropes and visual style. And it looks exactly like a show that would have come out in the 90s, but just looking a little bit brighter here and there. They don't update the look of the characters, so they look like something from 2010. Mm-hmm. It all feels nice and classic.
Hmm.
Well, I didn't know if we wanted to talk about it, but the new episode of Konosuba that came out.
Oh, the OVA?
Yeah.
The OVA.
That's right. I forgot about that. If you guys aren't aware, there's a new OVA of Konosuba that came out, and you should watch it if you can find it, because it's absolutely amazing.
It is. It's just a constant reminder of why I love the show in the first place, and why Megumin is the best girl. I mean, her reaction to the giant robot golem. Oh my god, it's so cute. Can I keep it? I promise I'll take him out for walks.
Yeah.
It was so good.
And it was like a continuation of the story too. It was like an essential episode almost.
Mm-hmm.
Almost, yeah. Well, considering what you find out about the person who's was in the cave.
I mean, yeah. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was really, we can't really talk about it too much because we don't want to spoil anything. Yeah.
But watching it legitimately put me in a good mood for the whole day.
Yeah, yeah. I would definitely say if you can find it, definitely watch it. I just kind of want to, before we move on, I just kind of want to say that Boruto is still absolutely awesome.
Mm.
There were a couple filler episodes.
There were a couple slow episodes about characters that you don't care about, but it's only like one or two.
Mm.
And
can you skip them?
Can
I skip them?
I wouldn't.
No?
I
no,
would watch
just
them.
In case.
Just, yeah, I wouldn't skip them just in case. Just know that the episodes that follow are really, really good.
Yeah.
Because one of the episodes that was a filler after those two episodes was about Sarada, so it was actually really good.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good one. And then the episode after that was about an OVA, or I'm sorry, a one-shot manga chapter that we never got here in the United States. They just animated it, so that was really nice to get.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was the first half of the episode, and the next half of the episode was about the parents, and I was like, oh, if we could get more episodes about the parents interacting with their children, that would be fantastic, because that's really cool. And then the next coming episodes of Boruto are going to be the manga that we got, Masashi Kishimoto manga from about Boruto before it switched over to the other artist.
Yep.
And it's the one about Sarada going to look for Sasuke. And I can't wait because it was really good.
You actually bring up a really good point about original animation, because you were talking about the one shot that we never got here in the States. Well, there's the next episode of My Hero Academia that's coming out was actually never in the manga.
Really?
Yeah, it's an original
episode. In fact, they make a mention of that in like the episode preview. Hey guys, this is something that has never been animated before, it has never been shown in manga. It's just a nice little backstory about some of the things that happened with all the other characters as this was going on.
Yeah, it shows, it's like going to be a half hour episode of what everybody else is doing at their internships.
Oh, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah, and it seems like Sue is going to be the main focus in it.
Sue?
Yeah.
Huh.
Which okay. I would have hoped for Urarika, but we got...
I really like Sue.
We really
Sue's
got...
Sue's a good character.
Yes, but Urarika is best girl. But we did get a lot of her in the sequence of, you know, doing the internship thing, because Gunhead Like, she, I think it's so funny how she's so obsessed, how she thinks Gunhead is really cute.
Yeah, adorable. I don't know. I'm a fan of pretty much all the female characters in My Hero Academia. They're all pretty
awesome. And I think it's a good move for them to do this, too, because seeing that I've read the manga, we're about to move on to another
arc.
And I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to time it out so that the arc, or so the season, is going to end in an appropriate place.
Okay.
If they kept going with episodes, they were like, oh crap, we don't have enough episodes. Either we're going to create really long, drawn out, boring episodes, or we can create an original episode that can fill that space and we can tighten it up a little bit.
That sounds good to me.
Yeah. And I think it's going to be interesting, especially because I've never seen it before. I've read all the manga, but now I get to see something new.
Yep.
So there you go, you know?
Cool. So was that what we're watching?
That was what we're watching.
Yes.
Awesome. And now it is time to move on to our Tamagotchi, which brings us back to the news. So, News Belchon, you get another ring.
Must be tired.
Uh-huh.
Let's talk about Sony.
Sony and Funimation merging, hopefully not hostile takeover.
Yeah, no, it doesn't sound like a merge. Technically,
yeah, it sounds like a buyout.
It sounds like Sony bought Funimation.
Well, they now own 95% of the company, which and is owns the other five.
Terrible. 95% Sony.
That's so bad.
We don't know that yet. It's scary. It's not
scary,
bad.
But from what Funimation is saying, it's going to be business as usual with them.
That's what Funimation is told to say because they only own 5% of their company.
Yeah. They only have 5% say in what the media says.
So Sony's going to tell Funimation to say whatever they want them to say.
Well, I'm going to LA anyway this coming week, so I guess maybe I should stop by and give them a talking to.
You should.
You're going to change the world, Evan.
So here's my perspective on it. When you have I'm not going to say that Funimation is a small indie company, but when you have such a niche audience and interest like anime, Funimation is not considered a huge corporation company. Now, Sony is a corporation, and you never, ever, ever want corporations to own the things you love. It's pretty dangerous, and yes, I know me and Evan have had a discussion about, you know, how Warner Brothers owns or has a stake in Viz Media.
Yep, which is true.
Yeah, and everything that Viz releases has a WB tag on it, and that's totally cool. But I love Warner Brothers. I don't trust Sony.
Yeah. Think of what Sony has given us recently. Spider-Man.
Because the thing is Sony is so much more than an entertainment thing. They own you don't have Warner Brothers TVs. Like, Warner Brothers is an entertainment thing. Sony produces.
Right.
They don't create. Warner Brothers creates.
Yep.
They have DC Comics. They have, Bugs Bunny. They have their own movie studio.
Mm-hmm.
They've been in the animation game for a long time. Sony has an animation studio, and they make movies. But Sony owns so much more.
Mm-hmm. They create products, they create...
They sell.
Yeah.
Sony sells. I don't know how I feel about them owning 95% of an anime company.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to basically bring it to that. They're going to sell us stuff. They're going to sell us anime that, like, will we see more anime and highly produced things? Sure. Are we going to see Sony using everybody that they want to use and not the people that Funimation used to use? Maybe. I'm very afraid for it because I don't know how to feel about it.
Yeah, I'm on the Funimation FAQ right now to see what Funimation has, and they say one of the major questions is, what does this mean for your products and services? And it says, Funimation remains committed to making our physical and digital products as accessible to fans as possible, and we have no plans to change pricing and placement of our physical or digital products. Funimation Now will remain the same price and will be available in all of its current territories. I mean, that's encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
It also says that there's not going to be any impact on simuldubs or home video releases or theatrical schedules.
I'll keep reading this if we want to keep going.
So the thing that scares me is that they even need to release an FAQ for this, because people are asking so many...
Well, they did this too when Crunchyroll and Funimation teamed up last year.
Right.
But that's different. Funimation and Crunchyroll teaming together is awesome because they're fans. Like, everybody who created, like, Gen Fukunaga, the CEO of Funimation, started Funimation because he freaking loves anime. Sony is buying Funimation
because anime is topical.
Because anime is trending. It's hashtag trending. Like, seriously.
Yeah. Toonami trends every single Saturday. They know what's going on. Not to mention that Funimation has the license to Dragon Ball Z. Yep. They have One Piece. They have My Hero Academia. They have, like, all the really big shows that are under the anime umbrella.
Yep.
And
so it would have been... So, of course, Sony would be like, I kind of want a piece of that.
It's really kind of freaky, too, because we were literally just talking, like, having a conversation in the same room with Chris Sabat. And I think that this whole thing was going on during that time, but he obviously couldn't talk to us about it. It's really weird to think that a company that he has a huge stake in Funimation, right? He was one of the founders.
Well, they use his studio a lot to record all the dubs.
That's what it is. It's
Okatron 5000.
Yeah, that's what it is. He owns a studio that dubs for Funimation. That's what it is. Not Funimation itself. But he's a major part of Funimation. So, and that's kind of the question, right? Is, are we going to be getting Sony voice actors now? Or does Sony have enough intelligence to go back to these other voice acting studios that are familiar with this and, you know, use Chris Sabat's help and use Chris Sabat's studio and use his voice actors and his voice talent?
You just said, like, I don't think there is such a thing as a Sony voice actor.
Right.
Yeah.
But they do have the money to do it if they wanted to.
They do, but they might want to save money, hence why they are going to want to just stick with what's already been made available.
Imagine
how pissed off the world will be if they, like, announce that Dragon Ball Super is getting a new dub and Sean Shimo's no longer Goku, Chris Sabat is no longer half the characters on Dragon Ball Super.
There would be so much weeb rage.
Yeah, see,
there would be weeb rage. And after seeing what happened with Ghost in the Shell and that flopping here in America, I think they want to avoid that.
Yeah, and
they know to avoid that.
And I don't think that anything like that would happen. I just think that because this is new to us and because a corporation is owning a thing we love, we don't know how to respond to
this. We're kind of defensive.
We're very defensive.
Which is understandable.
Because Funimation and Crunchyroll, that whole merge was very cordial. This was just like, hey, Sony owns 95%. Funimation only has 5% of whatever they own left.
Yeah.
And that to me sounds like Sony approached them and said, hey, we're going to buy you out.
Yep. It's also worth mentioning, too, because I found it in this Forbes article, that this transaction is much different than Sony Music Entertainment owning Aniplex. It's not the same thing. Sony owning Funimation is not the same thing as Sony owning Aniplex, according to this Forbes article.
Yeah.
It says, in comparison, Funimation itself is a streaming platform for anime, so the new deal hits right at the point of access for most Western anime fans.
Now, we might get a faster turnaround and stuff, though. Like, see, the good things that will come out of this is we might get a faster turnaround for anime coming out.
Faster dubs.
We get more faster releasing because licensing can be purchased with more bigger bucks.
Right.
More dubs, which I don't really care about because I like subs, but I also like dubs.
Nothing could happen at all. Like, if you think about it, for one thing, if you wanna think super positively about it, nothing could happen at all. Funimation could continue doing exactly what they're doing, and Sony could just reap the benefits of
That's not a 5% ownership, though.
Letting them pull in all the... Yeah, they get 95% of the profits.
See, the thing is I want to know what the 5% is that is owned.
Yeah. There's...
Gen could probably have, final say on everything. Since it's still his... I know it's Sony-owned, but he's still the head of Funimation.
I don't know if that's how it works. Because usually it's the person with the bigger percentage has the final say.
Right.
That's the way that business works.
Well, if you're going to be splitting 95% of Funimation throughout all of Sony Pictures Television, it's probably going to go to hundreds of different people, which will probably mean that Gen will still have the highest percentage.
Right. Cause we've actually have familiarity with this. When we used to live in Florida, we knew a business. I don't know if I can openly talk about this, but I just know percentages where one of our friends owned a business and then they had a second business. Well, that second business was 55% owned by him and 45% owned by somebody who was funding it. And the reason why he had 55% was so that he could have that extra edge over them so that he could have the final say on all the decisions. Mm. And so that's why that example specifically is why a 95-5% split is so scary to me.
Right. It's
because I don't know what that 5% is, and 5% as opposed to 95% is a huge gap. A very massive gap to where Sony could say, hey, Funimation, 5% could possibly be the fact that Funimation is still a name on the box. That's it. That could be that 5%, is that Funimation still gets to be printed on the box and not Sony.
Mm-hmm. Here's another thing, too, that's a part of it. I found this in a Variety article. With Sony Pictures Television Network's deal, Chairman John A. Cubes will depart from Funimation. Cubes said that in a joint statement with lead investor Doug Deanson, we believe Sony, Gen, and his team are uniquely positioned to lead Funimation and its fans into an exciting and entertaining future. So the chairman of Funimation left over this deal.
Jeez.
That's kind of scary, and that's such a blunt statement. That we believe Sony, that we believe Sony and this team are going to lead this into good places. But I'm not going to be a part of it.
Yeah, that's a scary statement. And because the thing is, too, I think it may come down to money, because Funimation didn't make a lot of money on what they did. They made a lot of money to keep their studio alive and to make new licenses, right? Mm-hmm. That's the way that the anime industry works. So when you see a figure like $143 million buyout from Sony, that's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but it's not as much as I thought it was. I would have assumed that Funimation was a $500 million company, considering not just DVD sales but streaming sales, subscription sales, and merch as well.
Yeah.
So here's the thing: was there something that we didn't know about Funimation? Was it tanking?
Yeah. And was Funimation tanking?
And did Sony buy them out of their hole of $143 million and say, hey, we'll buy you out and we'll save you? That's the other thing, too. That's why it could be so cheap, because they weren't worth that much.
That's a possibility.
It's a very high possibility.
Worth their debt, and now Sony owns them over that debt.
Because what if the merger between Crunchyroll and Funimation is sinking Funimation because all those funds are going to Crunchyroll? Or what if they merged with Crunchyroll because, again, Funimation wasn't making the money they were going to make before merging with someone, because they knew that Crunchyroll's streaming service was better than Funimation's streaming service.
Could that really be a thing? Like, how could that be held so quietly?
This is all speculation.
Right. That's the only thing I'm saying is that I think it's more
from our own personal experience with using the Funimation website and the Crunchyroll website, and seeing the vast difference in quality between one streaming and the other streaming.
Yeah. Yeah, again, this is all speculation. We don't know, but these are very real, very high possibilities.
Yep.
Because we know this stuff. We know how business works, and we know how the animation industry works, and we know how companies work. I've been in a company where we've merged with another company,
mm-hmm.
and it's not always nice.
I can imagine.
And people in the middle are sometimes caught in the middle of funk arguments.
Mm-hmm.
So it's different. It's mm-hmm. so this is, again, all speculation, and we as fans are just scared for the medium that we like. Sony could do a fantastic job, and it could be filled with a bunch of weebs. We don't know.
Yeah.
But the likelihood is it's filled with a bunch of guys in suits.
Yep.
And they know that anime is hashtag anime trending.
Keep in mind, too, that Sony also has licensing to a couple other anime that I think hasn't been used as much. They have Blood Plus. They have the license for that. They have the license from the 2003 Astro Boy anime. They also have a lot of Satoshi Kon's movies. So this merger could actually maybe help bring those licenses back to the forefront and yes. bring it to those nostalgic fans that miss watching those shows.
Yeah, I actually
and movies.
I actually have my two Blood Plus DVD box sets here back from the early 2000s that I bought for a lot of money because they were really expensive, $200.
came with a hat.
It did. It came with a hat and a shirt, and it was really cool, but the shirt was too small for me.
It'll probably be $60 now if it was to be re-released by Funimation.
Yeah, and the thing is, it does, in fact, have a Sony tag on it, on the two box sets that I bought. But I also have to remember, I bought those two box sets for $200. Are we still going to get $200 animes now from Sony? We don't know.
Well, that's what I'm thinking is going to happen with like, if they were able to give these licenses to Funimation. I think it'd be a lot cheaper, and therefore more people will buy it. They'll see a much bigger profit today from buying these sorts of, from like a Blood Plus box set than they did 15 years ago. Because keep in mind, way back when Blood Plus first aired, it was $30 for four episode DVD.
Yeah, and it's all right. Jonathan and I have Blood Plus recorded on VHS.
Yeah.
All of it.
Like, right so, now, like, if you were to buy, like, a $120 box set I'll use the recent example, because I just pre-ordered the box set for Squid Girl.
Yep.
Which okay. Sentai Filmworks is releasing. I love the show. I thought it was really funny. So the box set comes with the 24 main episodes, 3 OVAs, a sticker pack, 2 art books, and a certificate of donation that you helped, that because every box set that's bought is gonna go to like helping with the environment.
That's cool.
Specifically with the oceans. And there's a few other things too that I can't remember off the top of my head, but there is a lot that's in this box set that is worth that $120.
Yeah.
Hashtag back then books. When you bought your Blood Plus, what did you get? Just what was in the Blood Plus box set that you had from 15 years ago?
The first half of the series, so 25 episodes.
Okay.
A t-shirt, a hat, and I think that's it. That was
To be fair, t-shirts and hats could be made really cheaply.
Yeah, and so that this was an embroidered hat, though. I still have it.
Not if you buy it at Hot Topic. It's like $50.
So that was the first half. That was probably about $100, and then another $100 for the second box set. And the second box set came with nothing.
Yeah.
It was just the last 50 episodes.
Just really
expensive. Like 55 episodes. Yeah. 30 episodes or so.
Anime has subsequently gotten much cheaper than it was back in the day. Like
unless you're Aniplex.
Unless you're Aniplex.
Oh, come on, Aniplex. Get with the times.
Owned by Sony.
Uh-huh.
But it's different.
I hope so.
It's different as variety.
Man.
About this. Maybe that could be also a positive. Maybe the Aniplex could make a deal with Funimation to release, maybe bare bones Blu-rays of, like, Kill a Kill the Complete Season.
I would love that.
$40 or $50.
Yeah.
According to the Funimation Q&A, it doesn't seem like anything is going to be touched.
For now.
From Aniplex.
Right.
In this deal.
Which sucks because I really want Bakemonogatari.
Yeah.
Because I want Bakemonogatari. I want Psychono.
You have it on Crunchyroll.
Yeah, I know. But I want Psychono. Yeah. Like on DVD, I want to have
it. I want Kill a Kill. I want Erased. I want the recent season of www.working, because I thought that was really funny.
Before this unravels into a whole a new other Aniplex, why are you so expensive? discussion
today on Aniplex, we hate you.
Yeah.
Well, I want to actually make the quick point that this could even probably lead to seeing more anime on television too.
Yes.
Well, yeah, because the deal is specifically with the Sony TV network, isn't it?
Right. Like, specifically, think of, like, maybe if it got onto network television. I mean, Friday nights and Saturday nights on television aren't really used for anything save for reruns and shitty reality. They could probably put anime at those time slots, get a little bit better ratings during that time, and not even have to spend as much money as if they were to create a new show or a reality series.
Yeah, the problem with that, though, is they've tried that in the past. Granted, anime and nerd culture altogether is a lot more popular now than it was back when we had Toonami on Cartoon Network, for one, but also things like Anna Monday on Sci-Fi. Sci-Fi had another anime block at one point.
The reason why it failed was because, number one, it wasn't pushed out as much as Toonami is constantly on Cartoon Network. And number two, it's a midnight slot. Yeah. Midnight slots are where shows go to die. I'm talking more of like 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Them, like an anime comedy time slot on like, say, like CBS or something like that.
That's when Naruto used to be on, was like that 8 a.m., like 7:30.
On Toonami, though.
On Toonami. We're talking network TV, like an actual legit television. I'm making it sound like that Cartoon Network's not a legit television station. It is. But I'm saying like one of the main forays of television.
Something that everyone has access
to. Yeah, like a prime time night. Thursday nights is comedy night. We watch Community. You know, so.
I gotta say though, I don't see that happening. I don't see anime going on to the high def blocks with, you know, Family Guy and what are they playing? King of the Hill. I don't know. You know, like when a new Family Guy comes out, I don't foresee, you know, them playing a race on TV afterwards or anything like that. It seems too weird. And I think that the regular TV viewing public would also find that too weird.
I guess we'll have to see.
We will have to see.
Yeah.
So
they could always try Sergeant Frog.
Yeah, they could. Something like that. But it's going to take a lot for people to get on board, because, I mean, I even remember thinking it was weird to see anime on Cartoon Network where cartoons are supposed to be played.
Yeah.
You know?
So. But
that's true.
I think that's as far as we can take this topic before we unravel into craziness.
Yeah, until people think that we're just a bunch of haters. Dab on the
we're
haters.
Not.
Dab on those haters. Hashtag dab on the haters. Don't do that. Wicked Anime does not do that.
Don't condone dabbing.
Cool. So, do we have some fan service?
Yes, we do.
Yep.
We have a little bit of fan service.
Go ahead, Evan.
So, one of the things is we have to first apologize because when we were talking about who sent us Bible Black, I mentioned it was Gerardo.
Gerardo did send us Bible Black. It's who requested
that. Oh, who requested it. Okay. Yeah. So Keto Black was the one who requested it.
Yeah.
So first off, that's our bad, our fault. So Keto Black.
Keto.
Yeah, Keto. So for my wife who watched Bible Black, I chose Imari. But I specifically said before Imari grew up, you know, a schlong.
A non-female member.
A non-female member. So, Keto Black...
Spoilers, I haven't gotten that far yet.
So, Keto Black said, side note, Evan, how can you even say Prefuta Imari? That's the best part of the show when she's in the basement. It's like skipping a high-class desert. Desert?
Desert.
See, I'm reading it as it said. He says high-class desert for a bag of black potato chips.
Hey, listen, man. Vegas is a very high-class desert. It's not wrong.
I don't know about that. I would say
I'm saying, would you rather spend your time in Vegas or the Sahara?
I don't know. Vegas sounds like a fooder to me.
It probably is. But I want to respond.
It's like, do you want to spend your time in a desert or with a fooda? And then it's just like, or like a highly erotic rapey Fuda, you know, like, which is Bible black.
Yeah.
So and
that,
Vegas.
That's Vegas. Yeah. So.
That's why they always say what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Oh, boy.
The Fugas are coming.
Yeah. All right. So ooh, I want to respond to Keto. And, you know, thank you for I wanted to want to respond to him about why I chose pre and not the main version. Because here's the thing, and this is going to shock a lot of people. A lot of people, it's going to be highly controversial what I'm about to say.
Okay.
You see, with me, I tend to prefer my women to not have penises.
Oh.
Oh.
Revolutionary man here.
Yes, revolutionary. Yes. That's why I went with pre, not with main Futa.
Don't worry. Himaru. Don't worry, guys. We've discussed it many times on the show. We do not knock anybody's fetishes. All fetishes are accepted here on Wicked Anime. Well, to an extent.
To an extent. Yeah. Yes.
We just won't talk about
it. Yeah, we just won't talk about it. So just don't tell us to talk about fetishes. We won't. We'll do that at our own discretion. We'll do that on our own discretion.
Right. But that's why Keto, because I prefer my women to not have a python between two boulders staring at me.
Riveting.
Riveting, yes. I must write a book about this. The man who doesn't like women with penises.
So
I'm
going to
go
Keto.
On Oprah and talk about this.
It's every time you message us, it's always an adventure. So keep messaging us. And I still have to somehow finish my adventure of making my way through Bible Black as a that adventure that I'm going on of let's watch Bible Black as if it were a legit anime and not a hentai, you know, and reviewing it as such.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Cool. Is that all we had for fan service?
I think it might be.
Because we didn't get any emails, and Facebook was pretty slow. But that's okay, because that gives us enough time to make a short episode for you guys. And, you know, get this editing going.
So, do we want to move on to some shameless plugs?
Yeah. So, if you guys have, and I'm sure you guys have your opinions about Sony, but if you guys have opinions about Sony or anything else that we talked about on the show today, you can email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That's wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. All one word. You can also find us at facebook.com/wickedanime, where, you know, we post this podcast that you may be listening to, some what? News stories, events that are coming up, maybe videos when they come out. I know, Jonathan, you're in the midst of editing some more.
Yeah, I'm currently editing a snack video, which, guy, I don't know why, but snack videos are really hard to edit.
Like, oh, you're doing a snack video? That's pretty cool.
I'm doing the another anime convention snack video,
which
happened almost a year ago now.
Oof.
And then I'm also...
They're kind of timeless. It's
yeah,
fine.
And then I'm also working on...
granted, my facial hair and my haircut is not timeless.
No. Part two of Victoria's horror games is underway.
Which you guys really loved the first one.
Yeah, so. But I'm really hoping to get a move on Anime Boston.
Yeah, the Anime Boston floor coverage, that's going
to
be fun.
Yeah, hope so. But I need to offload all of the other footage from that and everything. There's a ton of footage. There's hours.
I know.
At least 8 hours of footage.
We got a message from the guy who won... who cringed last? Who was just like, "Hey, where's my interview video with you guys?"
Yeah, we have to finish some stuff first.
So. Yeah, sorry about that.
It'll happen.
So speaking of videos, you can find those at youtube.com/wickedanime. youtube.com/wickedanimereviews, where you can also find the videos at nerdyshow.com/wickedanime, which you're probably listening to this podcast right now on. If you're not listening to it at SoundCloud, or iTunes.
Yeah, or Audio Boom if SoundCloud doesn't exist anymore.
Oh, yeah. And then you have Stitcher and Google Play and Podchaser, which is brand new.
You should check out Podchaser. You have beta keys to access to. If you use Nerdy or Nerdy Show, then you can gain access to Podchasers, where you can search any podcast at all.
This is before it becomes full-time.
Yep.
Because right now it's in beta.
It's almost out of beta.
Is it?
It's almost time to be out of beta, and there's going to be a mobile version of it. It's only a desktop version right now, but there will be a mobile version when it's fully released.
Yeah, and I will go on the record saying that I have used Stitcher for podcasts, and it's good.
Yeah.
I actually really enjoy Stitcher. It keeps track of your podcast no matter when you close it and open it.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Well,
that's good, because SoundCloud has been messing up.
Yeah, SoundCloud messes up a lot.
They might be going sometime soon, let's just put it that way.
That's why we're mentioning all these other places you can go to.
And, of course, you can find us at all the social medias. You can find us at Twitter and tweet us at YoWickedAnime. And you can find us on Tumblr at tumblr.wickedanime.tumblr.com. And you can find us at twitch.tv.com at WickedAnnaPlay. Go ahead, Evan. You can do your thing.
All right, so for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any comments, questions, if you're in a band and want to be featured on our No Borders, No Race podcast, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. You can follow me on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com. On the J-pop, anime, and video games amino pages at KingBabyDuckESH, on Twitter at KingBabyDuckESH as well, and on Twitch at twitch.tv/omnistreetinc. Like us on Facebook.com/BostonBashBrigade and Facebook.com/Land of Esh. And don't forget about all the other sites under the Land of Esh, including The Electric Sisterhood, Phil's Recap and Review, Smash Rook, and Nerd Crave. The next event that I'll probably be at will be the Boston Festival of Indie Games. Me and Derek will be heading that Saturday, checking out all the really cool upcoming indie video games and tabletop titles that are going to be coming out. And then, hopefully in October, we'll also be at another anime convention again.
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't know if I will be.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to be either.
I hope to be.
Okay, so if that is it for our shameless plugs, I would like to hear what people have to weigh in on the Sony thing, and if we're overreacting, if we're just far off the record of or overstepping our bounds as to what we're talking about in this situation.
Or if somebody from Sony is listening and they're just like, no, guys, we have it all wrong.
Yeah, come on to our show and let us know and then sponsor us.
Yeah, please give us free stuff.
But you can't own 95%. We will do 49%, and that's it.
That's the highest we will go.
That's the highest we will go.
For for $143
million. $143 million, because that's how much we're worth. We found out it's true.
And we know you have it.
And yes, so we're your guys. If you need us to say, hey, guys, this is what you can find on Funimation, because I know Funimation doesn't have any promoters over there. That's a lie.
Another emoji movie never happens again, okay?
We got to get out of here before we start more fires than we can put out. So, so until next time, we will be back here, same anime time, same anime place. Time to sign off the only winner. We know how.
K-Bye! And everybody knows what chicken tastes like.
That's true. Okay. Except for chickens. Well, no, actually, that's not true. I suppose that any cockfight chickens would know what chicken tastes like.
Ooh.
I'm pretty sure there are cannibalistic chickens out there.
Maybe.
I wonder. Do you think that there are other animals that like, enjoy the taste of, like Dr. Hannibal Lecter, but as other animals?
I think so.
I think pigs are known to, or specifically boars are known to be cannibalistic. Think about all the hamsters, and when they're born, the father tries to eat some of the hamster babies.
Dr. Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah. It's Hamtaro time.
Yes.